Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com. We're in the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, our phone line open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Lenape Solar. You can always go to LenapeSolar.com. Heavy hearts across the area today, obviously. Selins Grove and Shikellamy will play their football game tonight at 7 o'clock as the area tries to take a baby step forward. But again, very difficult times and so much for those across the area to endure. But again, they will play the game tonight at 7 o'clock. But even though they'll play the game tonight at 7 o'clock, it'll be done with a heavy heart and it'll be a baby step forward, which are about the only steps you can take at this particular time when something so tragic has happened. So that'll be at 7 tonight. We'll have it for you here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. As our show progresses along today, we'll hear from the respective coaches. Even though we know the game is secondary, the game is still going to be played, and we'll hear from the two coaches today and get their perspective on this evening's game between the two. We'll also look back on Penn State Navy from Saturday, and also Bucknell, Delaware, Saturday as well, and plus yesterday in the NFL. All that and more. But before we get to that, it's time for Above the Noise. Here's Dan Patrick. Welcome back. We have a lot going on today. A lot. Kevin, of course, has the game tonight. And we'll talk about that. Also, we will hear from Bill O'Brien in a few moments, the interview Jack and I did after the game on Saturday. 3:35, we will have Patrick Chambers, the head basketball coach of the Nittany Lions, on. 4:05, Ed Bouchette from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, talking about the Steelers' performance yesterday against the New York Football Jets.
New York fans are already starting to call for Tebow now.
Yeah, it's fine. No, he looked really effective on the 22-yard run. Just remember something. Remember something, and Roger's going to love it when I say this. Robert Griffin III is what Tim Tebow should be.
But that defense, that was a shame. I mean, they had a really, really solid offensive performance, and the Redskins' defense just didn't get it done.
Wow, plus the Morgan kid threw the ball in the face of them players when they were driving down for what was potentially the game-winning field goal attempt. You can't lose your poise. You can't do it.
Eagles survive again.
Yeah, but they're the first team ever to start out 2-0 with 2 1-point wins.
Is that
true? First team in the history of the NFL.
I did not hear that. That's amazing.
Yes, so that's a fact, Jack. And so let's get to Penn State's performance first. And Bill O'Brien, after the game, talking with Jack Ham and me about the performance and also the validation that these players finally have by getting a win.
Well, since the day I came here, this staff and most importantly these players have put in countless hours. And they've done everything we've asked them to do. And the team that's in this locker room right now is just a fantastic group of young guys that really have done a lot of great things for Penn State. And it's just one win, but I feel very good for them.
Bill, how important was that opening drive to win in for the touchdown?
It was a very important drive. You know, we talk about starting fast all the time, and Matt threw a nice ball there to Allen Robinson. It was a chunk play that we've been looking to try to get, And Allen made a great play on that, and then we were able to get in for the touchdown. So it was very important to start fast.
Billy, you talked about two of the keys defensively during the week, that being tough but also discipline. You said the toughness was never going to be an issue because you have one tough football team. How did you feel about your defense's discipline?
Well, this is a good defense, and it's coached very well, and there's a lot of good play. I'm very happy for those guys.
Were you surprised you were able to throw the football as well against this Navy defense?
You know, it was just Navy's a very, very tough opponent, and they did some things defensively today that were very tough. They played a lot more odd front than we anticipated, and I thought our guys did a decent job with that, and it was just good to see. But Navy's a very, very tough opponent, and my hats go off to that football team and their coaching staff.
You talk about the defensive side. It seemed like Jordan Hill really stuffed that dive play all day long against that option.
Yeah, he's a heck of a player, Jack. I mean, This is a guy that plays so low to the ground, plays on his feet. I mean, he's a guy that I really believe can play at the next level. And I wish we had him for longer, to be honest with you, because he's also a fantastic kid. But we only got him for 9 more games. But I know he's going to give us everything he has.
Bill, I know that you've done everything to deflect to the players justifiably, to your coaching staff justifiably, and to the fans. Because that's who you are. But on behalf of all of us, to you, congratulations on the first of what will be many. But it's still your first win as a head coach, and I know it's very special. Congratulations.
Thanks, Stephen. Jack, I really appreciate
congratulations,
it. Thank
Bill.
You, Jack. Yep.
Bill O'Brien after the game, its first win as a head coach. And Penn State won it. Last score, 34-7. Now it is Temple, which will have had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. We'll see how that plays out. They look great against Villanova. That's neat. But the first half against Maryland was not neat. They played a strong second half to get themselves back in it, but Maryland won it. And they went through a full week of practice last week. There was no let-up. They didn't give them a day off like most off weeks. You'll get a day off here or something. And they hit last week. They hit a lot. As a matter of fact, Temple did last week. Kevin Newsom is a part of the team. Yes. He is playing wide receiver. He was at Tidewater Community College until the end of July, early August, and did not get on campus until it was training camp time. Thus, the ability to learn the offense and compete against Chris Coyer just was not going to happen. Newsom is now playing wideout. So that's the story there. We will talk with Patrick Chambers at 3:35, a little bit about the Coaches versus Cancer reverse drawing at Medler Field at Lebronto Park on Thursday night, but also extensive basketball conversation as well, and at Ed Bouchette from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
Steve, we did get a text question in, wanted to know if P.J. Byers played on Saturday.
Did not. Did not play down on Saturday.
All right, there you go.
And also, let's get into the Giants situation with Tampa Bay. I have no issue with what Greg Schiano did at all because based on time and situation, it's the right way to play it. If this were a 9-point game, in other words, a 2-score game, then you don't play it that way. You let them take the knee and leave. When it is a 7-point, anything that's 8 points or less, and in this case it was a 7-point game, 41-34. You go after them because, look, if you get the ball, you have a shot, and you can tie the game up and go to overtime, or else you can play for 2 points and win it, whatever your fancy happens to be at the moment. In that case, the Giants have to block it, and it's their responsibility to block it and not just feel like the white flag of surrender was run up. The fact that Eli Manning got knocked down, I think, accentuated the problem. Now, the NFL says they're not going to do anything about it because it was perfectly legal. But at the same time, I don't think the NFL is too enamored with having Manning knocked down either, because quarterbacks make the world go round in football. And they make the world a happier place ratings-wise. But I have no issue with what they did, because it was 33 seconds left. If you induce a turnover, you then have a shot because the clock will stop. You'll be able to get 2-3 shots of the end zone to tie it up. That makes complete sense to me. If it's a two-score game, 9 points or better, then there is no need for that, and it is Bush League. And I say this as a person who's a lifelong New York Giants fan. I mean, when I was young, it was the AFL and the NFL. There was no merger when I was young. And in southern New England, the Giants were the NFL team. So this is my team at the end of the game I'm watching. And I think what Chiano did was perfectly justified based on time and score. I don't care if you're trying to take a knee. Dan Marino faked a spike and threw a touchdown pass against the Jets. There are a lot of things you can do. But the bottom line is, now the Giants know if they get into a situation like that, they'll have to line up toe-to-toe and block it. Because when Tampa Bay lined up, they lined up with the idea they were going to play it out. I mean, they lined up in three-point stances and crowded the line of scrimmage and went for it. Well, if the Giants' offensive line, which is a veteran offensive line, didn't realize that, then that's their problem. Time and score dictated that you had to play it. It was a 7-point game with 33 seconds to go. You have to play it. Now, if it's 9 points or better, it's two scores. Now that you just stand there and just let them take the knee and get out of there. So there's been a ruckus about this. And Tom Coughlin had heated words with Greg Schiano about it. But as much as I think Tom Coughlin's a great coach, and I see his point, and Coughlin is a great coach. Remember what he did with Jacksonville. They got him to the AFC Championship game as an expansion team. That's pretty impressive. They had a pretty good early run at Jacksonville with him at the helm. And he's been around the block, and he gets it. On this one, I understand where he's coming from, because it is the end of the game, and they're just trying to take a knee and get out of there. But it is also a situation where when you look at the time and the score, it dictates defensively what's going to, it dictates defensively, you got to go for it. Give your team one more shot. Don't forget, tonight, Sealands Go and Chickalimmy, 7 o'clock this evening. Sarah Bartlett with the pregame beginning at 6:30 tonight here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Kevin Hurd, Dick Hort with the call tonight of the game. Okay. Finally, Kevin gets to do Monday Night Football.
Not exactly the way I had it planned, but it is Monday Night Football. You're right.
Phillies lose 3 out of 4 over the weekend at Houston.
And I'm glad it's football season because of that.
Wow.
If I don't care, they play well.
That's really bad.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, and you can always go to purdyinsurance.com. The beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, in Hummel's Wharf. And our hotline at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Lenape Solar. You can go to lenapesolar.com. Ed Bouchette, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, coming up at 4:05. Then our interviews with the respective coaches of Shikellamy and Sealands Grove, Coach Hess and Coach Tilford. Talking about the showdown tonight at 7, which you'll hear on News Radio 1070 WKOK, beginning with our pregame coverage with Sarah Bartlett at 6:30. Time now to bring in the head basketball coach of the Nittany Lions, Patrick Chambers.
Steve?
How are you? How are you, Coach?
Good to hear your voice, my friend.
Good to hear your voice, too, my friend. I want to talk about Thursday night. It's going to be a combination of coaches versus cancer, and then tomorrow we'll have on Steve Greer and Jamie Bestwick as well. To talk about their end of it, but just this gathering and what it means to have the community come together, what does that mean to you?
Well, obviously, the seventh year doing it, this is my second year. I thought it was an incredible event last year. A lot of good people in town and in and around the community, and you know, bringing awareness. We got to keep fighting. Guess what? We haven't beat it yet. So we have to continue doing this. And doing events like this, and to be teamed up with Jamie and Steve, and doing what we can for the area, it's not going to stop until cancer's out of business.
No question. Not only that, though, but the way the event is put together. Give me your read on the importance that when an event like this takes place, that it is all done in a first-class manner, so that people feel like they're part of something special.
Well, there's only 400 tickets. It's $350. That's for two people per ticket. But it's an exclusive club. Jaguar, XF, Steve. I don't know what the XF stands for, but it sounds pretty cool, right?
It's out of our league, but you and I both think it's out of our league, but it sounds cool.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I'm a Ford, Pinto type guy. That's all I need.
I just don't want to hit the back of it, that's all.
No, I mean, obviously the food, the entertainment, I mean, it's just going to be an incredible night this Thursday night, September 20th, 6 to 10, Steve. But the fact that you have such a good margin, great margin, I should say, to win a Jaguar is pretty special. And if you don't want the Jaguar, I think you get like $30,000. That's not bad either, huh, Steve?
$30,000 is pretty good because, if you win the Jaguar, you have to pay the taxes. But to me, if you can afford the $350 ticket, you're already on well in your way in that regard. So you're good. You're
now,
good.
Now, Steve, I'm a Delaware County guy, youngest of 12. You can split the ticket with somebody so it doesn't cost you the full $350.
Perfect. That exactly right. You can do that.
Two, three, four. Everybody can chip in, buy a ticket.
Right.
You can put a Jaguar or the money. Whatever.
You can rotate days as to who drives it. That's it's great. One day I want to look cool. Next day you can look cool.
Exactly. I think this thing has a personal massage that goes along with it. I don't know. It seems to be one of those incredible cars.
Absolutely. How are you feeling? Because obviously you've had to go through a lot this year, and you've had to go through a lot in rehab, which has given you a greater appreciation for when your players are bouncing back. How well have you now bounced back?
I'm doing great. I'm walking. I feel great. Doc Sebastianelli and Sazzy and Wes and all the boys have got me back to health. So I'm doing great as far as walking. And, the program's headed in the right direction. We're doing a lot of stuff in the community. A lot of stuff on football, home football Saturdays, getting a lot of good recruits on campus. My kids are healthy. My youngest is going to be 6 months, Steve. Can you imagine?
I know.
That 6 months is like a blink of an eye with the pace of what goes on in college basketball as a head coach. But everything's going great. Really, really excited for October 12th.
Yeah, no doubt everyone's excited for October 12th, just 25 days away before you get them out there. Right now you can get them for 2 hours a week Give me an idea of the how productive those 2 hours a week have been in moving this forward.
It's going great. Last spring and summer, because summer was new, great thing by the NCAA, allowing us to touch our kids in the summer. That was one of the definite positives. I know there's a lot of negatives that follow around the NCAA, but this is a good thing for basketball. So we worked on, our skill development all spring, all summer. Now in the fall, we're getting back to the basics of defending and rebounding and toughness and doing the little things to prepare. We're basically pouring the cement of the foundation of the house as far as how we want to play, rotation, things like that. And it's going really well. Guys are responding. This is their second year under me, so they kind of have a feel of what to expect each and every practice. And the approach has changed now that Tim Frazier is a senior and P.J. Newville is going to be a co-captain with him, and his toughness that he brings and the feel that he brings to the program. So there's a different feel, I would say, Steve, at practice right now.
Yeah, I can understand that. And I talked with Tim Frazier at Football League, and he told me this: what he has worked on diligently in the offseason is his jump shot, and he likes the results of what he's seeing with it.
No doubt. I mean, he had a little bit of a loop or a hitch, and that is gone. He worked very hard on it. It looks good. Now you got to defend his three along with his everything else that he excels in. But I tell him, don't forget what got you where you were. I mean, he's got a killer floater. He does. He gets the basket better than anybody in the Big Ten or basketball for that matter. So don't forget your bread and butter, your go-tos and counters, I say. And, his three ball looks really good. He's really stroking it. So that's just another added weapon for him to elevate our team this year.
But shouldn't that three-pointer, that jump shot, then accentuate and make the bread and butter even better because now you don't know what you're going to get?
It should, but what I would tell you is DJ Newbill is going to be on the floor now. So they got to respect and guard him.
The floor, Marshall. Give me an idea how much the floor balance changes with Newbill and Marshall out there.
It's going to change drastically. They can't have five guys in the paint covering Tim. Now they got to respect DJ and they got to respect Jermaine. Those two guys had, and Ross Travis for that matter. Those guys had really good off seasons. Really worked on their three. Really worked on, their skill development, getting better in every aspect of the game. So they can't load up anymore. You know, in football, how we all load up on one side because you think the run's going to go that way.
Not in the box.
Well, there's no loading up on Tim Frazier anymore. Yeah. I mean, I watched tape from last year. Literally, five guys in the paint. It's just now you got to respect DJ. You got to respect Jermaine. You're going to respect Ross. And John have done a good job developing as well. So, every now and then we got to give the big a biscuit. We got to give him a biscuit,
yeah.
Steve.
Yeah.
And I'll let them get hungry a little bit.
In the Patrick Chambers system, you work hard, you then earn something. Nick Colella earned himself a scholarship.
No question. Every day last year, he came in, lunch pal. No surprise, he's a Pittsburgh Steeler fan. He comes in every day, ready to go to work. Never complained. Rarely was negative. Came in, just competed. Did what I asked him to do. Was great in the locker room as far as pumping guys up and leadership. He earned it. He earned that scholarship. And it was a great day when I made the phone call to let him know that we're going to take care of his final year.
It's one of the great stories as to where he was and where he is now. The three kids that are in, they have to adapt to what you want to do and they have to fit in with the others. Have those three young men fit in right away and giving you the feeling that you made the right moves making them Penn State basketball players?
Well, there's no question. I'm excited that they're Penn State basketball players because each guy individually is exactly what Penn State, they're serious about the degrees and they go to class every day and their work ethic's off the charts and they're winners. So right then and there, they're Penn State guys. Now, with the locker room that we have, it's been seamless. They fit well with our team. They fit well on the court. Now, there's a little bit of growing pains here, Steve. The high school to college is not a small step. It's a leap. It's an absolute leap. The intensity level of practice, the toughness that you have to bring every day, your approach every okay? Like, it's new for these guys to get up at 5:30, lift, have to go to class, have to go to tutors and study hall, and then have to come back and work out again. It's, you know, it's a very eye-opening experience. They are adjusting extremely well. Brandon Taylor's lost 31 pounds.
Wow.
In his 6 weeks in the summer and the short weeks now. He's just getting there. Donovan Jack's putting on weight. He's 6'9", lefty, very skilled, jumps through the roof. Acosta really strokes it from three. He was already gifted with incredible body and speed. He beat Tim Frazier in an up and back in a 10-second. He jumps just as high as Tim. I used Tim as the barometer because Tim, you know, for a 6'1" guard, he's got the highest vertical in the team, as he should. But Acosta can get up a little higher. So I'm excited about these three guys and what they're going to bring to our program, not only this year, but for our future. And they're going to continue to work hard. They come in with a great attitude, and that's all I could ask for.
Exactly. One more time, Thursday night will be the big event at Miller Field, Lebrano Park. It's the reverse drawing with the Jaguar available or the possibility of cash, whatever you choose. 6-10, grapefruit from Danny Rollis. That will be catered up during all this. Proceeds split between Coaches versus Cancer and the Bestwick Foundation. We'll talk to Jamie and Steve a little bit later about that as Coaches versus Cancer soars past the $2 million mark. And this fundraiser has a chance to go past $200,000 in its 7 years of existence. They're at $175,000 right now.
Yeah, it really is. It's a great event. Please come out. It's a lot of fun. You know, we can talk, we can hang out, but we're raising awareness. We got to beat this thing once for all. I'm actually looking forward to meeting Jamie. I think he just won a gold, if I'm correct.
He did.
Which is amazing. He's 30 years old. He's still beating young bucks who think they're hot stuff. So I'm fired up to meet him. And hopefully, Steve, you'll be there. And it's always good to be around Steve Greer, who's the king of the one-liners. So it's going to be an exciting night.
He is. And, yes, I will be there. So, of course, I'll be there. It's a Penn State basketball event. You better believe I'll be there. So.
Well, thanks, Steve. Thanks for being there, and thanks for having me on, pal.
Patrick, it's great to be with you, my friend. Talk to you soon. Talk to you Thursday.
I'll talk to you, buddy.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Patrick Chambers, head basketball coach of the Nittany Lions. 4:05, we'll hear from Ed Bouchette of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette as we run down what's going on with Kevin's team, the pros and the cons.
I just like the fact that it's 1-1 right now.
You know what? No, it's, you know what? I forgot. We can't have somebody on to talk about the Steelers. Your team is the one you drafted in your fantasy league team. It's not, you don't really root for a team.
Hey, and that team did really well this week, but we won't get into that.
I sit there at home and I watch the bottom of the screen in the fantasy updates. Right? And I sit there like, oh, what are you doing? Yeah, they just give us like a full screen option. Click that out of there.
Tell me when that doesn't roll around your head. I wonder how Kevin's team's doing.
Nope, never crosses my mind, to be frank with you. Sorry, it just doesn't. It doesn't.
Wow. Ice cold, frigid cold.
I mean, frost warnings.
Yeah, frost warnings is right.
Hey, you know, I have had, now haven't I had guests on talking about fantasy football?
Sure.
Because I understand that the audience, a lot of people in the audience love to play it. You play it. Sarah plays it. Drew plays it. Sean plays it. I don't know if Roger does. Does Roger play it?
Yeah,
Roger plays it. So you guys have a great time with it. And it just absolutely does not float my boat at all.
Well, you know, and you're not the only one. I know a lot of people that are like, I just can't get into it. You know, my partner tonight, Dick Hort, not a big fan. He laughs every time I talk about, hey, should I play this player or not? He goes, it doesn't matter.
But I've had guests on talking about it because I know people like it. I mean, again, you can't just do a show where it's like all things that you are just truly interested in. You can't do it that way. You have to do what the audience is interested in. Because it doesn't float my boat doesn't mean it doesn't float some guy's boat down in Sealands Grove. Somebody in Milton, Danville,
Well, as I said, it would not be
Shamokin Dam.
Listen, if the it would not be, the television scrolling them on the bottom of the screen for a reason. All right, the NFL.com website created its own fantasy section for a reason.
Yeah, because a lot of people are playing it.
Because there's a lot of money there, right?
All right. But the two, it's interesting, though, the three people that broadcast Penn State football and basketball, not one of us plays.
Well, I always wondered that. I always wondered how many players, how many former players have gotten into fantasy football.
I can tell you one that hasn't.
I know one that hasn't, right.
Same thing with the DJ. Dick's like, yo, no.
Listen, all he's doing is watching horses go around in a circle and cashing in at the window.
And he is cashing in at the window. Take my word on that. It is unbelievable. I just got an email from you. Let's take a look here.
Do you really need to share it?
Mercy me. It's another picture of your son. How proud you must be. Wow. Mohawk?
It's actually a Haney Hawk. It's referred to in his school. Because there's a young man named Eric Haney who actually became the first one on the football program to have one last year. And his mother actually ended up getting all the players at her house and did the Haney Hawk as well. So it's like a Mohawk, but they named it after Eric Haney. They call it the Haney Hawk.
Ed Bouchette of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette is coming on the show at 4:06 today, following the news at the top of the hour.
You mentioned it. Remember that. I was going to be fine not mentioning it. You mentioned it.
You sent the email. You made a point of it in the commercial break that you were sending the email.
Yeah, because I thought you'd get a kick out of it.
Oh, I got a kick
expect
out of it,
all right. I didn't expect it to be broadcast quality.
I got a kick out of it, all right. You don't mind if I email that to the police, do you? All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio, 1st Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And our Lenape Solar Hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565. Thanks to Patrick Chambers. Our thanks to Bill O'Brien. Ed Bouchette next in the house at 4:06. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this. Ah, the big cat.
Hey, I always wondered, does the cat have a name?
The Nittany Lion.
Yeah, I just didn't know if he ever had, if there was ever a name. I never heard it, but I thought maybe it existed years ago.
I think his name was Kevin. So.
I don't think so.
No, it's never had a name. It's always been the Nittany Lion.
See, now there's a question you don't get asked on the Thursday night show.
Believe me, we've been asked everything. On the Thursday night show, why aren't there enough Port-a-Johns in Section 16? That was my favorite one.
Really? Really? Why aren't there enough Port-a-Johns?
I sat there. Joe looked over at me. Joe looks at me and he, I mean, see, I saw all the facial expressions and the hand gestures. Okay? He looked at me like he put his hands up and looked at me and go, what is that?
Like, Port-a-Johns.
I look at him and I'm like, I don't know.
Why are there troughs and not? what a weird question to ask you on that. I mean, wow.
I mean, I heard it all. Believe me, I've heard it all on that show. So,
why did the seats keep getting narrower? And I keep getting wider.
Actually, the seats in the stadium, right? The seats in the stadium, every new seat in the stadium conforms. They're all 21 and a half inches, the new seats. In the upper deck, club seats, and the upper deck of the north end. And the seats that are outside the
the luxury suites. You know, there aren't that many of them, but they're there. And they are all 21 inches plus. The other seats in the stadium, I think, are 18. And that the ADA seats, by the way, down below are also. They are grandfathered. Anything that was in that stadium before 1988, 18 inches. Anything after 1988 that's put in there is 21 inches. So actually, I do know the answers to these things.
I don't know which is more frightening, the fact that there's a grandfather clause on the width of the seat or the fact that you know it.
Been here a long time, and I've done that show a long time. You learn a lot along the way.
How many steps from the 50-yard line to the press box?
From the 50-yard line to the press box? 122.
But you can't get in.
Sure you can.
Unless it's Alabama, then you don't need a pass.
Just talk to Tracy. She'll let you in.